Kirk, serial number SC-937-0176, CEC, service rank, captain, position, Starship Command, current assignment, USS Enterprise.
Hello, fans of superheroes, sci-fi, and the four-color adventures we all love. Welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber. Big, big week here at the Lair. Been talking about it all week on Facebook and Twitter, counting down the days until today's show. If you heard the end of last week's show, or if you follow Comic Book Central on Facebook and Twitter, I hope you do, then you know I recently had a chance to chat with the captain of the Starship Enterprise, the only man to ever beat the no-win Kobayashi Maru test, Mr. William Shatner. You are going to hear that conversation in just a few minutes. Now, I think it's important to note that while I was in the midst of scheduling the interview with Mr. Shatner's publicist over the past, month or so, in that time period, as we all know, unfortunately, Mr. Shatner's close friend and Mr. Spock to generations of fans, Leonard Nimoy, passed away. The conversation you're going to hear today was recorded just days after Leonard Nimoy's passing. As you would expect, it was an especially stressful week for William Shatner. Even that weekend of the funeral, he took to Twitter and live-tweeted memories of Leonard Nimoy, took questions from the fans, very nice touch. And just a few days after that, he kept his commitment to the interview here on Comic Book Central. I'm telling you what, I did not expect him to, nor would I have thought anything if he had canceled it, but he didn't. He is a man of his word. He took the time from his amazingly busy schedule and the stressful week that he was having to talk with me. I'm telling you what, the man is a true class act. But let's be honest, would we expect anything less from the captain of the Enterprise? We would not. So, as I said, his schedule is packed. He's currently promoting his new book, Catch Me Up. He's doing a lot of press, mostly 10-minute blocks, which is pretty standard on a publicity tour. As we all know, Comic Book Central here, it's a bit different format, more long form. But he was quite gracious in granting a little bit more time for all of you listeners out there. So I appreciate that as well. Again, a bit quicker than the usual format here today. I had to go into rapid-fire Stuberman super speed question mode, but we did cover a lot of ground, got some insight into a few projects he's working on, and got to reminisce about the late, great Leonard Nimoy. All right, you want to hear from the man himself. I don't blame you. I want to hear from him. Check this out, and then I'm going to beam right back in with William Shatner. Where in the world do you start when you're talking about the career of William Shatner? Well, why don't we start at the beginning? Born in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, William's career as a performer began on the stage as a classically trained Shakespearean actor. Film and television roles followed throughout the 50s and 60s, most notably that of terrified salesman Bob Wilson, who sees something out on the wing of a plane in the classic Twilight Zone episode, Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. In 1964, William Shatner crossed paths with actor Leonard Nimoy on an episode of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Less than 2 years later, those actors would meet again on the set of the television series that would forever place them in the hearts of sci-fi fans worldwide, Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek. As James Tiberius Kirk, captain of the Starship Enterprise, Shatner led his crew through 79 live-action episodes, 22 animated episodes. Nerd trivia, that animated series won an Emmy Award. And 6 feature films, the second of which, The Wrath of Khan, featured what is arguably the finest moment of acting between these lifelong friends. The scene in which Nimoy's Mr. Spock sacrifices his own life for the sake of the crew.
Spock!
Ship. Out of danger?
Yes.
Don't grieve, Admiral. It's logical. The needs of the many outweigh
the needs of the few.
Or the one.
Yeah, Spock got better, the crew signed off for good in Star Trek VI, and Shatner symbolically handed the Trek reins over to Patrick Stewart's Jean-Luc Picard in Generations. In Kirk's death scene, Shatner summed up his Trek experience in three words.
It was fun.
Now, Kirk was gone, but William Shatner moved on at warp speed, starring in 5 seasons, 91 episodes as Sergeant Thomas Jefferson T.J. Hooker on the hit ABC series. He went on to write a ton of novels, including the Tech War series, which was adapted into a series of Marvel comic books and a mid-90s TV series starring Greg Evigan. He's directed numerous documentaries, pitched products like Priceline, launched a talk show, Shatner's Raw Nerve. He toured the country in a highly successful one-man show, Shatner's World. And at an age when most people have retired, he won a Golden Globe and back-to-back Emmy Awards as attorney Denny Crane on The Practice and Boston Legal. Well, my guest today, he took out a gremlin at 20,000 feet and a Gorn at close range. He is a multi-Emmy award-winning actor. He's also a director, musician, author, and for the past half century, he has been going where no one has gone before. His latest book is called Catch Me Up. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the one, the only, William Shatner. William, welcome to Comic Book Central.
Wow, Joe, there's no time left for the interview.
That's it. Goodbye, folks. We're done. First of all, I want to say my sincere condolences on the loss of your friend Leonard Nimoy. I know this has been a very tough week for you. So,
thank you. Thank you for that.
We talked about this weeks ago, and you held this commitment, so I am truly appreciative. I know this has been a very difficult week. And I thought it was very cool that you did live tweeting over the weekend where you sort of gave fans a chance to reminisce, ask a few questions about it. I put one out there. It didn't get chosen among the tens and hundreds of thousands, so I thought I'd go ahead. Hey, I got you on the phone. I'll ask you now, right?
Okay.
Star Trek VI. Did you have a sense at the time that this would be the final time that Kirk and Spock would interact on screen, and what were those final days of filming like for you?
I had a grand time, a great time with my friends there. I had hoped that the show, that movie would show our relationship, wrote and had written, had people write scenes that involved relationship between the three leading characters.
Yeah.
So it was, I had great fun, artistic fun and creative joy.
Yeah, it was amazing. You were directed by Leonard twice. You directed him.
Yes.
In your underrated Star Trek movie, in my opinion. Describe those experiences compared to working with directors outside the Star Trek family, just directing
Leonard,
each other.
Leonard was a wonderful actor who had studied the craft. So he knew a lot of technical stuff and how to arrive at it and how to get to a moment. And he was super. A wonderful director, wonderful actor. And you could see him growing as a director from the first movie he directed to the second one. He was brilliant.
More entertaining, going toe to toe with Nimoy in A Mock Time, or the $20,000 Pyramid with Dick Clark in 1977.
Which was more?
You threw a chair in $20,000 Pyramid.
I know. Now that goes back a lot. I threw a chair in mock frustration. There was a funny moment there where they had asked me to play both parts, both the person asking the question and the person answering the question. And I got so caught up in it, I didn't know the answer to a question that I had asked myself. And then out of mock frustration, threw a chair.
It's classic TV. It's classic TV, yeah. And it's on YouTube, of course. Now, look, my mother-in-law is one of your biggest fans, so I'm going to turn one of these questions over to her.
Sure.
When Star Trek The Next Generation premiered, she was adamant that it not be shown in her house because pure Star Trek was William Shatner. She has since come around.
No, I love your mother. Don't tell me she changed.
She changed. She came around.
Oh,
she loves all things
gosh,
Trek. But she went over to the dark side. Yes.
To the competition.
But she wants to know, what were your thoughts when Next Generation premiered? Did you think that the public would accept it?
You know, I never understood until much later the magic of Star Trek. I was never cognizant of what were the major, what was the major lure in the series. And as a result, whenever I was asked that question, and I was asked that question all the time, I joked by saying it was me, or then I'd get serious and say it was the stories, or it was the action, or it was the philosophy, or anything like that. And I wrote a book based on essentially why people go to the conventions, but it was also the undertone in that book was what was the lure of Star Trek. And the lure of Star Trek at those conventions for the book, I discovered it was they were going to see each other. They were old friends coming to see each other. It was only years later when I did a documentary with the same title, Get a Life, that I uncovered what I think is probably the truth behind the magic of Star Trek and the reason why The Next Generation works and all the other iteration works. And that is, science fiction is mythology, and it seeks to, science fiction writers seek to explain mysteries that we'll never know the answer to. UFOs, life on other planets, what are we doing here, you know? All those things that that science fiction writers have played with, the ideas that they have played with, apply to Star Trek and The Next Generation. So had I fully realized it early on, I would have understood that there is a magic to science fiction in general and Star Trek in particular, that an audience becomes intrigued because we offer a view of the future that we'll never know because we're going to die before that happens.
Just about every Star Trek story you can think of is covered in two of your best books, Star Trek Memories, Star Trek Movie Memories. I want to ask you about your latest literary effort, Catch Me Up. What can you tell us about Catch Me Up?
Well, Catch Me Up, in viewing what was happening in our economy and the resizing of companies and people that they were letting go, one of the group of people that suffered a great deal were the over 50 people who had a lot of knowledge and were getting more money because they'd been at service with the company longer than the younger people. And when they were let go, they had more to lose. And there was a reluctance on employers' parts to hire over 50 because they wanted more money. And the premise of my book is, all right, keep trying to get a job, but in the meantime, you have skills that are promotable, that are usable. Take those skills and form, become an expert, and let people know that you are an expert in whatever it is you're an expert in. And I try to show them how to use the social media to advertise your expertise.
Yeah, I love the fact that you mentioned like you were unemployed over 400 times and you keep getting roles.
Right.
One of those
every actor who loses the job is over. Star Trek is over. You're out of a job.
Well, one of the roles I want to talk about, something you don't often talk about, Tech War. That was something you created.
I love Tech War. 10 books. 4 movies and 22 hours of television, and only by bad luck did it not succeed as a series. The network gave us a late order, and by the time we were able to manufacture, if you will, fashion some hours, we had to do repeats because we couldn't catch up, and those repeats hurt our numbers, and we were canceled in one season.
It was a comic book.
Absolutely, it's been a comic book, and those comic books and the comic books I'm making now have become a real source of inspiration, creative inspiration.
Was this like a futuristic T.J. Hooker? Was that your original concept?
That's exactly right. There was a writer's strike during, I think it was Star Trek V, and I wasn't able to do anything, so I started with one line, which was a policeman like T.J. Hooker in the future. And then I branched from there.
Any chance of a feature film coming out of this? Everything's a comic book now.
Well, I think it's past its time. But we've been doing similar work, but work that has 20 years or 15 years of technological advance on it. So we're doing. I wrote a book called Man of War, and we're doing comic books on that, a whole new thing that we're calling cinematic illustrated novels.
Oh, fantastic. Well, and one of the other things we appreciate in the spirit of Catch Me Up, that you reinvented yourself as a talk show host, any chance we'll see the return of Shatner's Raw Nerve?
Well, I did 3 seasons of Raw Nerve, and I just thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm being asked to do things that are similar. It won't be called Raw Nerve because the channel, the network owns it. But I'll do other interview shows because I enjoy talking to people and exploring what they do. And on these documentaries that I've been making, and I've made about 10 documentaries of late, new one that's I'm in the process of selling in the United States, it's played in Canada, called Chaos on the Bridge, which is the story of the first 2 years of the making of The Next Generation, Star Trek The Next Generation. I do a lot of interviews in these documentaries, and only as a result of the courage that I gained while doing Raw Nerve that I knew that I could reach people's interior and do it fairly efficiently, because there's only a limited amount of time. And I was able to do that, do these documentaries, do the interviews and the documentaries, because of the experience I gained on the Raw Nerve.
Any chance we'll see the unedited Leonard Nimoy interview from Raw Nerve?
I never thought of that. He was wonderfully giving in that interview that I did with him. He told me a story that he hadn't thought about in many, many years. A very moving story about his grandfather. Whenever Leonard would come home from the Hollywood Wars, he would come into the house and talk to his grandfather, and his grandfather would reach down and feel the inside and the outside of his shoes. And his grandfather had been a leather worker, had made shoes, and among other things. And he was examining how Leonard was doing by seeing how worn the leather on the shoes was. The charming, warm story about Leonard's inner life.
Now, well, hopefully we can see that. Maybe we'll check out your website. I know we're limited for time here, but I wanted to ask you about 2 real quick things. I had a chance to see your one-man show, Shatner's World. Wildly entertaining. This thing is amazing. Are you still hitting the road? I know you had some dates in January.
I did. Okay. I made 4 dates in January. I'm going to let it go for a while. It's always there.
You got to bring it back.
I love performing it, and I have all the technology necessary. So we may very well book it at some point.
Are you doing improv? Like how much is scripted versus how much you interact with the audience? How much?
Well, there's a lot of visuals. There's a lot of media involved, so that's cued backstage. So I have to hit a word cue to give them the cue to hit the buttons that control the visual effects.
Coming up, look, the whole Star Trek has franchise has been rebooted. We know Leonard appeared as his character. He was in there. Your death scene in Generations, were you okay with it? You brought the character back in The Return, your novel.
Yes.
So he's Kirk's alive.
I know. There was a lot of nostalgia. I had lines that said to Patrick, it's your turn, and it's time for you, and you're the captain now, and things like that that were foreign. And then the character was shot and died and played a death scene, and it was goodbye, Charlie. It was very sad. I walked up to the producer after I finished the scene. I said, I've got the outline of a book that I think brings the character back. They didn't want to bring the character back. They thought they'd make a lot of money with The Next Generation and needed J.J. Abrams to do that.
All right, but you brought him back. The Borg, like, the Borg worked on him. He's fine. Kirk's fine, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
In my mind, he is, yeah.
Well, okay,
in
but
my
in,
mind,
in the reality world, look, there's all these rumors out there that you're going to be in the next Star Trek film. Leonard Nimoy was in there.
I know. If that's true, I'd be delighted.
Give us a little something here. You got to give us a little something.
I wish I had something to give you.
Would you like to be
asking,
in it?
I keep asking if you have something. Do you know anything I don't know? Would I like to be in it? You know, I don't want to be a gratuitous character who appears looking through a window. it has to function in the plot, and I don't know how you do that.
Like scrubbing the windows on the Enterprise or something?
Right, with my nose pressed against me.
Let me in.
There's a guy on the
Chris
wing.
Chris Pine. There's a guy on the
Chris Pine says there's a guy on the wing.
That's it. You cracked it. You broke the story.
Warp 7.
You broke the story. This is brilliant. This is the writer. This is the writer, William Shatner. Well, look,
exactly.
We hope to see it. Upcoming appearances, what do you got going on? Where can fans find you?
Go to my website, WilliamShatner.com. I'm all over the place. I've got all kinds of things going.
You've reinvented yourself. Catch me up. You've reinvented yourself. Your price line, your WilliamShatner.com.
There's watches, there's motorcycles, everything.
Twitter, you're at William Shatner. You're tweeting. Yeah. You're interacting with fans every hour you're on there. Is that really you on there?
Well, yeah, of course. Who else would it be?
I don't know. Sometimes they're fake. Sometimes there's fake William Shatners out there. So we just want to make sure.
Well, there's always sometimes a fake William Shatner.
There is only one William Shatner.
It's all smoke and mirrors anyway. Don't you know that?
There is only one William Shatner. You are a legend. That word gets thrown around a lot, but William, I cannot tell you how much of a thrill this has been. On behalf of your fans, I thank you for all the years of entertainment,
John.
Characters, especially Captain Kirk, your relationship with Leonard Nimoy. It's just amazing. I just have one more question to ask.
Sure.
Was it fun?
That's the past tense, isn't it? Was. It is fun.
You're amazing. I thank you for joining me today on Comic Book Central. Sir, live long and prosper.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Folks, we just had a visit from James T. Kirk. How much fun was that? I told you it was a big day at the Lair today. The man delivered. Of course he would. He's William Shatner. Fun interview. I don't know about you, but that is one to write home about. And since my mom and mother-in-law listened to the show, I don't have to write home about it. They just heard it. So did you. So did we all. Hope you had fun with this episode. That one was a blast. William Shatner, he is an industry unto himself. He has reinvented himself over and over and over again. I love that about his career. If you want to reinvent yourself, check out his latest book with Matt Andrews, Catch Me Up. It is a great read. The Kickstarter project is fully funded. That's one of the things he talks about in promoting yourself is Kickstarter. You can get a digital copy of the book at the Kickstarter page. I'll put the link up in the show notes. And of course, all the links to William's websites, his main website. You've got Shatner's World, Twitter, Facebook. He's everywhere. William Shatner's all over the universe. They're all going to be there. Go pick up some Shatner comic books. Let's hope we get to see his latest Trek documentary, Chaos on the Bridge. I believe it was shown in HBO Canada, so hopefully we'll get to see it here in the States. I'm sure if we do, that's going to hit the website as well when it's announced. My thanks again to William Shatner for joining me here on the show today. Hey, while you're in Shatner's world online, hop on over to Comic Book Central's world online. Each and every episode, oh, if you're a Star Trek fan, there are some other great episodes featuring Star Trek guests. Jonathan Frakes, Marina Sirtis, Terry Farrell, Michael Dorn, Julie Newmar. She was Catwoman. She was on a Star Trek episode. We talk about that in her interview. Beverly Washburn from the classic episode, The Deadly Years. She's on there as well. So much Trek goodness on Comic Book Central. Check out the episodes. They're all at comicbookcentral.net. Make it even easier on yourself. Subscribe to the show in iTunes. You're going to get them all. Leave a review in iTunes while you're there. I really appreciate that if you can do that. Let me know what you think of the show. Check out Comic Book Central on Facebook. That's where we're promoting everything in the weeks leading up to the show. Facebook.com/Comic Book Central Network. Don't forget the network. Share the lair. Folks, you just heard William Shatner, James T. Kirk. Share this thing. Retweet it. Share it on Facebook. Get it out. Let's get everybody in on Comic Book Central. Share the lair. Follow Comic Book Central on Twitter at ComicBookCTRL. As always, you can drop me a line, joe@comicbookcentral.net, or click the Signal Me tab on the website, comicbookcentral.net. All right, folks, time for me to head out of here at warp speed, but I'm going to be docking here again right here in the lair next week, because next week on Comic Book Central, I'm staying in the world of sci-fi. I'm not straying too far from it. I'm going to sit down with the beautiful, tough as nails, talented, sultry Cylon in a red dress from Battlestar Galactica. That's right, actress Tricia Helfer. She's going to be here next week. Until then, folks, live long and prosper. Keep on trekking. Keep reading those comics. And thanks for joining me here in the lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivations 3.0 Unported License. All of the content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
I have been, and always shall be, your friend. Live long and prosper.